In this episode, we are wrapping up Chapter 3 from Julie Morgenstern's book, Organizing from the Inside Out. It inspired an unplanned reorganization of my closet that caught even me by surprise. I'll tell you the motivation behind this mini project that I squeezed in this week. It was so worth it because now, every time I go into my closet, I feel happy instead of a sense of dread. Kathy surprised me when she told me her client revealed that she has ADD and had a special request for Kathy's assistance in guiding her through the process of organizing her house. You may be surprised to hear how long some of these real-life client projects take. I'm so grateful that you're here for episode 27 of Home with Intention. Welcome to the Home with Intention podcast. I'm Jody Perry, your host. I support the do-it-yourself homeowners by delivering interior design services with empathy, intention, and simplicity at jodypairdesigns.com and by curating a collection of meaningful home products available at essentialpairings.com. My purpose with this show is to inspire you to create a home that is a reflection of you and what you value most in life. This podcast will support you in breaking through the limiting thoughts and fears that have been holding you back from creating a home that is uniquely you. There are no decorating rules or trends to follow here, only inspiration, ideas, and encouragement to express your kind of beautiful, a home that captures the essence of your soul. It's time to create your home with intention. Hi, everybody. I'm Jody Pear.
Hi, I'm Kathy Feltz.
And today we are wrapping up Chapter 3 of Julie Morgenstern's book, Organizing from the Inside Out. And there it is. episodes, if you want to hear this entire conversation about Chapter 3, episodes 21 and 26 are where we started with this. And today we're wrapping it up, which is episode 27. So Chapter 3 is called Analyze Taking Stock. And I love the quote that starts this chapter off, and it says, if you don't know where you are going, how will you know when you get there? So that just kind of gives direction of why, you know, about Chapter 3. And there are five sections to Chapter 3. One is what's working, and that's what we talked about in episode 21. Two, what's not working. Three, what items are most essential to you. Four, why do you want to get organized? And five, what's causing the problems? And so today is why do you want to get organized? So that's section four. And this one, I think that this was so, I love her point in here. And I think it's a valuable lesson for all of us, like including me, because she is talking about a client that she had at a magazine. It was a magazine publisher, and they hired her to come in because I think it was the art director or whatever, he was embarrassed by how cluttered the cubicles look in this one department of their company. So he hired Julie Morgenstern to come in and organize them. Well, all of the employees, they have piles and piles of stuff that looks so cluttered. But once she started to dive in and started talking to everybody, their productivity is through the roof. They're not missing deadlines. They're functioning perfectly the way it is. And so she suggested to this director who hired her, she said, don't hire me. Don't spend money on me. Spend money on getting new cubicle walls to hide what you perceive to be clutter from the public eye. And I thought, oh my God, is that like amazing that somebody like that, she was not willing to just go in and just take their money and create systems for them because the employees were not vested in this idea because they already knew that they were functioning just fine. And so I think that that is so freeing to know that, you know, if you or me or, you know, whoever, if you personally are not feeling the pain and feeling the frustration from being disorganized or feeling that your space is cluttered. And if you're not feeling that tug to want to make it better, there is nothing that is going to work for you. There is nothing anybody can say to you that's going to help you. She, mm-hmm. and she even says, throw this book away. So that, I don't know, that just feels very freeing to me, just to know that if you're not feeling that need to make the change, mm-hmm. don't waste your time. Have you experienced that, Kathy? Has a client called you maybe for something, maybe on a more superficial level, and that you realize that they really, you know, they really weren't vested in doing this kind of work?
I mean, I think there's definitely been people that I've done assessments, because I do a free assessment. I walk in and do some of this, what she's talking about in this chapter, the taking stock, mm-hmm. and we assess what's going on. We actually assess what's working and what's not working. And there are people who, after I talk with them, they're like, okay, you know, they don't hire me because mm-hmm. we determine that it's not needed. The other thing that I see more often is parts of their homes are working and parts of their homes aren't working. Mm-hmm. And I'm always reminded how individual it is going in and organizing for somebody, because what looks right to me won't necessarily function correctly for them. And so, I mean, I think what she's saying in the book is completely true. If you are finding what you need, if you are getting your jobs done, if things are being done in a timely way, you're not, you know, forgetting the kids at school or missing deadlines or whatever, then there's nothing broken. So right. It doesn't need to be fixed.
Yes. Yes.
So, and I guess just for me, what I'm thinking is, in your house, there could be spaces that work perfect mm-hmm. and then spaces that don't. So maybe in this company, there were other spaces that weren't working, but just that something looks cluttered to your eye doesn't mean it's not.
Yeah.
And because it is so individual and different.
Mm-hmm. I have to tell you what I did this week, and it was so unexpected. Our closet in our master bedroom, it is a tiny little closet. We live in a colonial home that was built in the 20s, I believe. And so we have tiny little closets, but it's fine. Like, I've come to love that because it helps me only keep the things that I need or that I love, you know, so I don't overstuff my closets because I don't want my clothes to be wrinkled all the time. But what I started to notice, so my closet in the bedroom, it was working just fine. I mean, years ago, I had a carpenter come in, and he somewhat created a bit of an organizer for me. I mean, it was nothing extravagant. So mm-hmm. I feel like I addressed the problem many years ago, and that I created a system around that and how we share this closet space. And it's worked fine. But what I noticed this week is every time I open the door, I'm like, I was seeing a winter sweater, not a heavy sweater, but just like a knit top. And every time I open the door, it's just like, ugh, like, yuck. Yeah. And I thought, wow. I finally, you know, this was ongoing, but I didn't really take a moment to think about that. And what I noticed is, like, my winter clothes are in my face, but more than that is I retired from working from a day office job more than a year ago. That mm-hmm. closet is full of my working clothes that I no longer wear. Really? I mean, those are like my dress up clothes now. They're not my everyday wardrobe. And it didn't occur to me that, oh my gosh, my dress pants and blazers and, you know, things like that, they don't need to be in there where I'm accessing them every single day. And then right. having to walk into the, you know, our guest bedroom where there is a little bit bigger closet, and that's where our overflow is. Mm-hmm. So I reorganized my closet very quickly, mm-hmm. but wow, it just feels so much better. So oh my God, it felt so good to put dress pants and blazers away out of my sight.
And, you know, it's funny, Jody. It's like such a good example of the idea that our lives change. Mm-hmm. And so what we need in our space needs to change to keep up.
Yeah.
You know, like you shouldn't have, if you have a basement and your kids are in high school, why are the baby toys like, you know, out in the basement? You know, it's just keeping up with what's going on. And then you feel it immediately.
Yeah.
It feels better.
And for me personally, this was more than just a seasonal wardrobe change. You know, a lot of people put away their winter clothes, you know, and I don't put them away. We have two closets that we're working with. And so I haven't been really rotating them so much. But what I did is we had a working closet and we had a play closet. And now that priority has changed. And yeah, so it was deeper than just a seasonal change.
Yeah, it's a life change, not a seasonal change.
Exactly. Yeah. So I wanted to share that. And then another thing that was interesting in chapter 3 that was, I think, is helpful for decorating your home and creating, you know, starting on any project more than just organizing, are the bullet points that Julie's book at the beginning. What's working? What's not working? What items are most essential to you? Why do you want to get organized, and what's causing the problems? And I think that framework can be used really for anything. If you are trying to redecorate a space, if you were to follow this framework for that, I think that anything that you're trying to tackle in your home, you're going to have success if you follow this framework and really think about like what's working, what feels good. What's not working? What doesn't feel good? And that can help, you know, for you to get rid of things or rearrange things, just to give yourself, you know, give a fresh look to a space. I think that these principles apply.
Yeah. And so often what I hear from clients is they are overwhelmed by the process and they don't know where to start. So this is a really good tip for how do I start in a space? You start looking at this framework, you start looking at these questions, and then that propels you forward, helps you decide what to do, what not to do.
Yes. Yes. And so before we started recording, Kathy, you told me something that just shocked me, and with a client that you are working with. And so do you want to tell people how this started? Because I never would have expected this of a professional organizer. But your background is a little bit different and your skill set is a little bit different. So tell people what this client asked you to do.
Yeah. So Jody and I were just talking back and forth about books and using books and what we're trying to do to help people to use books. And I mentioned that I have a client who used to live in my town, moved away, and we've been doing Zoom organizing sessions for probably about a year and a half. And she discovered that she was ADD. And that was one of the things that was interfering with her ability to get organized. So it makes how you think and process information different. So when you get diagnosed with attention deficit disorder, that's ADD, you know, you have to have certain ways that you do things so that you can function. You know? Otherwise you get stuck. So she found a book, and I had heard about books that help you with this, but the book that she found is ADD Friendly Ways to Organize Your Life. It's by Judith Kohlberg, and I don't have the book, she does, and Kathleen Nadeau. And it just steps you through and walks you through how to tackle the way that you're thinking, how to tackle that and how to keep yourself organized and get yourself organized and how come you stumble in certain areas. And so what we're doing together is we're following the book. She actually, we're doing the structure right now of going through her whole space and putting things down on a spreadsheet for what she needs to do. And that's a very simplified way of saying it because the book is complex. But, you know, it's really interesting sometimes that things that get in our way, it's not that we're, you know, that our brain is disorganized or we're just not late, we're lazy or something like that. It's that there's real things that we need to work around with how we think.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it makes me think of individual. And so that's been real eye-opening for me. And it's also been very freeing and eye-opening for her.
Yeah. I love that you are, we're open to that. I mean, you are walking through this book with her step by step and helping her organize differently than you would any other client because she disclosed this diagnosis to you and asked for your help. And so, and because of your background, you are a certified intuitive life coach and a social worker.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing. And she didn't know that. That's not something you advertise, right? I mean, you don't.
Yeah, I don't advertise the life coaching. My social work that I'm a social worker is on my website, but I don't always, sometimes that's important for someone to know. And sometimes it's not. Mm-hmm. So I don't always, you know, say that to people, but I always bring that skill set. I mean, it's part of who I am. I always bring that with me. And it's very helpful in organizing,
especially in this circumstance. That is fascinating. And so you have been working with her for a year and a half. And so I think that that is so important for people to know, because again, you know, we try to reemphasize this, that this is not, you know, when you're making changes in your home, whether it's decorating or organizing, 90% of the time, these are not instant gratification scenarios. These are very long-term projects. They're ongoing. It's a journey. It's an experience. It's not a, you know, it's not flash. It's not here's the before and here's the after. And it's fast. It's just, it's not. Most of the time, it's not. Mm-hmm. And so a year and a half of walking through this book with her, I think that that is, I think that's fascinating. Mm-hmm. And not something that I would have expected from a professional organizer. I think that that is so unique to be able to offer that.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I would say that, you know, organizers, like anybody else, they have their specialty areas. Mm-hmm. So this is just kind of mine. The psychological piece is more my specialty area. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe somebody else really likes the technology aspect and helping people organize their technology. Well, that really wouldn't be me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me either.
My expertise. But yeah. So when you're shopping around for somebody to help you, it's good to know what's their area, what's their specialty, what do they love to do?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, this is great. So I will put the name of that book also in our show notes, if people want to refer to that, or, you know, if you or someone you know is struggling with ADD, there are resources out there for helping you specifically with this diagnosis, how to organize your space and how to address it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Is so, so interesting. Thank you for sharing that. I think that's,
oh, you're welcome. Value. Yeah. It's been very helpful for us. Yeah.
Great. Okay. Thank you, Kathy. It was great seeing you, and we will see everybody next time.
Okay. Thanks, Jody. It was fun as always. Bye, everybody.
Bye. A reading from Julie Morgenstern's book, Organizing from the Inside Out, Chapter 3, Section 4, Why Do You Want to Get Organized? Now it's time to fortify your motivation for getting organized. No matter how you slice it, organizing takes time, effort, and lots of concentration. As motivated as you may feel right now, somewhere in the middle of the organizing process, you're bound to get tired of making decisions or feel the tug of other activities pulling at you. Before you know it, you will walk away and leave your organizing project unfinished. You know what I'm talking about. It's happened to you many times before. By taking the time to articulate what's driving you to get organized before you start, when you're at the peak of your motivation, you create your own coaching tool to turn to for inspiration when the going gets tough. Keep in mind that you must be driven by your own compelling reasons for getting organized. If you're going through this process just because your neat spouse, boss, or kids have asked you to, you're unlikely to make it to the finish line. For example, a magazine publisher called on me to organize the employees' cubicles in the art department, which he considered embarrassingly messy. Each workstation was piled floor to ceiling with magazines, clippings, papers, and product samples. Yet the employees felt quite organized and productive. They knew where everything was and were able to produce very high quality work in that environment without ever missing a deadline, something the boss confirmed. I recommended that instead of hiring me, money be invested in purchasing screens to conceal the mess from public view for the simple reason that people who feel no driving need to get organized, and rightly so in this case, will not be able to maintain any new system. Identify what you expect to achieve by eliminating the clutter from your life once and for all. Here's a list gleaned from responses my clients have given to this question. They reflect common goals many people have for getting organized. Why do I want to get organized? Stop spending so much time looking for things. Set a good example for my kids. Reduce the feeling of being overwhelmed. Achieve more in less time. Make better use of my talents and skills. Increase my self-confidence. Gain a sense of control. Project a better image to my clients, colleagues, and friends. Make more money. Spend less money. Have more time to spend on what's really important to me. Improve my relationship with my family. Gain energy and calm from my space. Reduce my stress, frustration, and anxiety level. Clear my head of all the clutter. When you're done, post this motivation sheet on the wall in the area that you are going to organize. Halfway through the organizing process, when you're feeling overwhelmed and forget why you wanted to get organized in the first place, a quick glance will remind you and inspire you to keep going. Section 5, what's causing the problems? Using the diagnostic tools in Chapter 2, identify what issues are at the heart of your organizing challenge. Specify which technical errors, external realities, and/or psychological obstacles are at play so that you are sure to be addressing the right problem. Remember that the issues will vary from room to room, so you need to ask this question of each space you tackle. Where do you go from here? Although going through the analyze process takes a little extra time compared to just diving in, it is the most important investment you can make toward achieving your ultimate goal, becoming truly organized at last. If you skip any one of the analyze questions, cheat on another, or don't honestly examine your situation, you might as well put this book away. Your efforts to get organized will likely be in vain. Your answers to the 5 analyze questions will lead you to the strategies that will help you successfully attack your organizing problem, regardless of how insurmountable it may seem. On the other hand, if you're ready to make that commitment, read on. Thank you so much for being here. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world to me if you could leave a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you listen on, because it helps me to grow this podcast and to reach more people. Because the more people who choose their surroundings with intention, the more people can follow their heart back home to themselves, which is the mission for this podcast. Once a month, I will randomly select a reviewer and offer them a free download of my book, The Art of Decorating with Intention, a guidebook to creating an oasis for your soul. For more frequent insights and inspiration, you can follow me on Instagram at Jody Pear Designs. I have been fortunate enough to find the most helpful resources and amazing people whose work has touched me and inspired me to show up here today. TheHouseCoachingInstitute.com. Kathy Heller's inspiring podcast, Don't Keep Your Day Job. Allison Barker's work and her new podcast, Your Soulful Brand. The Sherry and Nancy Show, a podcast for women in their 50s that is hilarious and deeply inspiring. And Sandy Monroe. She is a joyful life lived on Instagram, and her brilliant teachings and guidance are exactly what I need. I'm so grateful to have found each one of you along the path towards fulfilling my dreams. I'll see you in the next episode of Home with Intention.